guys are awful quiet. Choices that we make. Let's talk a little bit about choices that we make. We should. Yeah, I guess we should. So what is it in our life, because we have to look at ourselves, when we make choices, they're on us, that brings us into this knowledge of the choices, are they going to be good for us? Or are they going to be bad? Do we ever stop and think about that when we make choices? How they're going to affect our life? So how do we determine what we think is right or what is wrong? And do we know when a circumstance in our life is the right thing to do? And when we know that it's the right thing to do, do we do it? Or do we just avoid it and go on to something else? So these are all about choices that we make in our life. So, choices that we make, when we ask ourselves these questions, these are all good questions that we should ask ourselves, because they're, if we're not serving God the way that we should be serving God, then it's pointless. The choices that we make are pointless because we're not making them according to the will of God. Because without God, without the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we're never going to find any truth in the situations and the circumstances that are happening in our life. So that means everything that's going on, we're sitting around wondering why it's going on, but if we don't allow God to lead us, we're never going to know why. So we're never going to know it. We're just going to be wondering about those things as we go through life. So the first question that we really should ask ourselves when we're getting ready to make a choice in our life is, where are we at in our service to the Lord? Where are we at in our relationship with God? How do we see ourselves in our relationship with God? Because this affects the choices that we make. If we're not in the right relationship with God, we are not going to make the right choices in our life. So we have to be in a right relationship with God. So are we living our life according to God's purpose and plan for our life? Are we doing the things that He would have us to do in our life? Now, one thing that we know for sure is that God instilled within everybody. Everybody that was ever created on this earth, God instilled within mankind a need and a will to serve. We are servants, right? When Christ came to this earth, He was a servant. Now, if we're not following after God, then who is it that we're serving? We're going to serve someone or something, whether it's right or whether it's wrong, we're going to serve something in our life. And this all comes down to the choices that we make. So we're going to start in the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. And we're going to start with verse 24. And what we want to understand a little bit this morning as we look through some of these scriptures, we want to come to understand, how do we determine what it is that we believe? Because what it is that we believe has a great effect on the choices that we make. So every day in our life, God is wanting to teach us something. We're people that are learning every day. Whether you think you're learning every day or not, you're learning something every day. You're either learning it from God or you're taking in the world. One way or the other. So this is what we need to do, is to be able to determine this in our life. So in Joshua chapter 24, we're going to start with verse 1. And here's what happened. It said, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves to the Lord." So what do we want to look at first here? In just when we look at this verse, what are some of the words that jump out at you as you look at this first verse of Scripture? One of the things I see is he said he began to gather the people together. So as believers in the body of Christ, one of the things that we're supposed to do is what? Gather ourselves together. And he says, when you gather yourselves together, you're doing it because God has called you to do it. You're not just doing it on your own. This helps with our choices that we make, because God has called to bring us together, and we're not going to leave anybody out. So that's why he said the elders, the heads, the judges, the officers, everybody. So what is it today that's happening in the church today that we're not following? And we're going to find out what it means not to follow after the call of the Lord. Is we are not gathering everybody together the way God wants us to in the church or in the body of Christ today. I can tell you that there's many, many, many people today that have went to church, that still go to church, that are believers, but they're not in church today, and there's some flimsy excuse, and people get mad at me for saying this, but I can guarantee you it's a flimsy excuse that's keeping you out of church. God says, when I call you together, I expect you to gather together, because the reason that I'm gathering you together is because I want you to present yourself before me. So when we gather together and everybody's not here and we're presenting ourselves before the Lord, we're missing some of the people within the body of Christ. We're missing some of the people within this body of Christ. God wants it to be as a whole. He wants us to understand the importance of gathering together and presenting ourselves to the Lord. Now, if you jump over into Hebrews, I'm going to go read you this verse in the book of Hebrews. Let me read this to you here real quick. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. As soon as I find Hebrews. Not too many markers in my Bible. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let's start, let's do 23 through 25. Here's what he says. Hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. That's part of gathering together. We're going to get to the gathering part. Because if we claim to be a believer, then we should hold fast to the profession of our faith. And he says, do not waver in this, for he is faithful that promised. And he said, let us consider one another to provoke one another into good works. And here's what he said. Not forsaking what? Come on, you guys know this verse. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, of ourselves together. He said, as some do. Okay, we were as some do missing here this morning, aren't we? Yeah, as some do. And he says, as the manner of some is, but he said, exhort one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. So let's talk about, first of all, why does God want us, why did he have Joshua call all the children of Israel together? Why was they called together? Yes, to present themselves to the Lord, but here when you go over into Hebrews, he said, we're encouraging one another. We're lifting one another up in love. We're talking about the things that are necessary that needs to be done because Jesus is coming soon. Amen? We're looking forward to the coming of Christ. So, let me ask you this question then. So, each one of us that have gathered here this morning, doesn't matter if it's in this church, the church across the hill, the church down the road, each one of us, can one person have an effect on many others in the body of Christ? Sure they can. Sure they can. And probably some of the effect is negative. Well, I've been to church the last two Sundays, so-and-so hasn't been there, good Christian. But, well, I don't need to go next Sunday then. If they can miss, I can miss. See, we have an effect, but we should be having a positive positive effect on one another, because if we're serving God in spirit and in truth, see, this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to assemble ourselves together so that we can lift one another up in the body of Christ, so that we can encourage one another within the body of Christ. And for those that didn't come out this morning, for whatever excuse it may have been, the excuse doesn't matter, because you made the choice not to come. Is that amen? Amen? That's right. When I don't come, I made the choice not to come. Choices that we make. In 1 Peter, let's go over to 1 Peter. I didn't even get down through. We'll come back to Joshua in a minute. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, here's what he says. As every man hath received the gift. Okay, and you can't tell me that as a believer you haven't received the gift, because that gift is living within you. It's the indwelling Holy Spirit. As every man hath received the gift, so minister this gift, the same one to another. You can't minister the gift one to another if you don't come together to do it. Okay, so minister the gift, the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, listen to this part. This is why a lot of people, I don't go to church there, because all they do is gossip, or all they do is this, or all they do is that. He said, if any man speak, let him do it as of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability that God has given to you. And anything else, don't say it.
Amen.
They didn't say that in that scripture, but I added that myself. Okay. So, that God in all things might be glorified. That's the only way we're going to glorify God. Okay? So if you're going to say something, make sure God gave it to you to say. If you're going to talk about something, if you're going to teach about something, if you're going to preach about something, make sure it comes out of the Word of God. He says, so that all things may be glorified by God through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So let's understand this, that everything that we have is a gift from God. You have nothing and I have nothing that God don't allow me to have. Now, you might have things in your life that God don't want you to have there, but He still allowed you to have them, because you probably sat around and pouted and whined and cried until God said, okay, you can have it. Now, once you figured out God didn't want you to have it, now you're trying to give it back. Lord, yes, you were right. I didn't need this, so take it back. But everything is a gift from God. And God says, He says we need to use these gifts as He sees necessary, not as we see necessary in our life. And it's not to serve ourselves, but it's to serve Him, and it's to serve one another. It's to serve everybody else around us. So that means that we must use our gifts on behalf of God. If you got gifts that you're using and you're not using on behalf of God, they're probably not gifts that God wants you to have. You need to get rid of them. Right. Only use the things that God wants you to use on His behalf. So we do them through God's strength, through His power. We do them to glorify God. We use our gifts to glorify God. So we must become an example. Okay, I called and I've tried to get my kids, my grandkids, and we're in the same boat. We try to get our kids and grandkids and so forth to come to church. And you know what they said? Well, mom, dad, you don't go all the time, so why should I go? Huh? You want to get them in church? You got to be faithful yourself. You got to practice what you're preaching, so to speak. All right? So here we need to encourage one another in the love of God. And if you're going to encourage one another in the love of God, whose choice is it? It's my choice. It's your choice to do so. We have to make the choice to do so, and we have to choose to follow after the eternal plan of God. Let me go back into Joshua, because I didn't read a couple verses that I wanted to start with. In verses 14 or 15 in the 24th chapter of Joshua, here's what it says. Now therefore, so if you're going to gather together, if you're going to present your bodies to the Lord, the first thing he says is fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity. Sincerity and in truth. So if you don't come to church, you might think you're spiting your neighbor. I'll show that preacher. I don't have to come and listen to him every Sunday. It's God. He's the one that you're letting down. He said, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. So when you're coming to church, when you're doing the things that God wants you to do, it's for Him. It's not for anybody else in the church. We come to lift one another up, but it's to glorify God. It's for God. So He said, in sincerity and truth, and He said, put away the other things. He said, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. So He said, The reason I called and can't get you all gathered together is because you're serving too many other things. And if you're serving all these other things, it's not going to do you no good to come anyhow, because you're never going to be able to present yourself wholly to the Lord because you got all these other things you're serving in your life. So He said, put these things away. And He said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Now pay attention to this. He said, if it seem evil to serve the Lord. Meaning, if you think you've got too much other stuff going on in your life to serve the Lord. He said, right now, He said, make a choice. He said, choose you this day who you're going to serve. And I'd be afraid to choose anything other than God. Because I can tell you the consequences of choosing things other than God are going to be severe in our life. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You're either going to serve the gods, the things that you've made up in your life, or you're going to serve the God and glorify Him. And Joshua said, if you're smart, he said, here's what I did. He said, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Okay, put your foot down and say, as for me and my house, we are going to serve God. We're not going to let all this other stuff, that all this trivial stuff, all this stuff going on out in the world, all this social networking and all these things that are going on, quit putting that ahead of God. Get yourself into the house of God and serve God the way He wants you to serve Him. People ask me all the time, how come churches don't have revivals or sings or all this stuff anymore? I can tell you why. Right? Joshua just told you why. Because you're putting too many other things. When you come to the house of God, you're not ready to present yourself before God. You got to get rid of that stuff and be able to present yourself unto God. In the book of 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now you're going to have some questions on this verse. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot commit sin because he is born of God. So what's this talking about? Because I can tell you, we're saved, we commit sin. So what's he talking about here? He's talking about that our new life in Christ. See, when we were saved, we got rid of the old. We took on this new life in Christ. And this new life in Christ, it opposes sin. It does not want sin. It does not want nothing to do with sin, which we're still going to sin, but that new life doesn't want nothing to do with sin, because the Holy Spirit that indwells within us is incorruptible. So that means now, we and I've heard Dad say this many times, we have to work to sin. Okay? So let's just take, we're talking about gathering ourselves. Let's just take on Sunday morning when the alarm clock goes off, and lo and behold, if you're in bed still at 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, something is wrong. You need to go back and live with your grandparents for a while and learn how to get out of bed and get up and do something. So something's wrong. I don't care if you did stay up after. Something's wrong. So what we're looking at here, so these things, when we get up of them, the Holy Spirit that indwells within us is trying to get us to go. Look, you need to go to church. You need to assemble together. You need to present yourself before God. But the old nature that's still attached to you is saying, oh, no, you don't need to do that. So there's this struggle going on within us, and we have to make a choice. As true believers, a true believer will seek to live according to the obedience of God's Word, because that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. That's what He says. If you're born of God, you're not going to commit sin. That seed that is within you, it's incorruptible. It does not want to sin. But you're struggling to make sin happen in your life. You're working. If you would work hard, as hard as you do to sin, if you would work that hard to get into the house of the Lord, you'd be there all the time. So, we want the Holy Spirit that lives within us wants to live according to the obedience of God's Word. So why is it then that we're not doing that? Because everything within our being wants to do it. So that means that the sinfulness that we're choosing over godliness is rejecting what the Holy Spirit that is within us wants to do. So now we're doing what? We're grieving the Holy Spirit. Okay, this Holy Spirit that does nothing for us but try to keep us in line, keep us on the right track, keep our joy in the Lord full. Now we're grieving that. So that puts us now into this state of whatever you want to call it. Depression, anxiety, anger, fear, all these worldly emotional things. Here, that's where we're at, because it has a negative effect on our joy and on our happiness in the Lord. So God tells us we need to do what? We need to get into the Word of God. We need to get to the place where we can present ourselves unto God once again. In John chapter 15, here's what He tells us. John chapter 15, verse 11. Here's what He says. These things, all of these commandments, if you go back up through there, He's talking about the commandments and the promises of God. He said, these things have I spoken unto you because I want your joy. He said, that my joy might remain in you, and that it might remain full. See, Christ knew when He was teaching this to the disciples, He knew that there was things that were going to come along that they were going to choose over Him, and what it was going to do was going to sadden them in their worldly, emotional, sinful nature. It was going to sadden them. And Christ said, the Holy Spirit that is within you does not want that. He is fighting to keep you out of that. He is fighting to keep your joy full in your life. That's why Joshua said in 24:15, what did I say? He said, as for me and my house, we're going to what? Serve the Lord. If you would get up every morning and quote that part of that verse, it would certainly go a long way in helping us remaining full in our joy in the Lord. So the most important choice that mankind can ever make is what? Is to choose. To choose to accept the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Put our trust in Christ and that eternal salvation. So that means once justified now by the redeeming blood of Christ, then every day we have to commit to our service to God. Before anything else in our life. Now, I know the kids play ball, and I know this happens, and I know that happens, and I know you got to go to work. But if we commit our life to God, He'll make a way for us to continue together to present ourselves unto Him and glorify Him through everything that we do. But it's the commitment that we're lacking. It's the commitment to put God ahead of everything else, because we don't trust Him enough to say, okay, if you commit to me, I'll make time for all the rest of that in your life. I'll make a way. I'll make it happen for you. But we don't trust Him enough to do that. So we commit to the world and we leisurely accept the things of God. See, we got it backwards. We got to commit. We got to commit to God. In Matthew chapter 6, let's see what Christ taught his disciples about this. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, here's what he said. Matthew 6, 16. No, I'm sorry, that's Romans. Matthew 6, 24. No man can serve two masters. Okay? Yep. You don't have, as a believer, a bunch of people in there. You got the Holy Spirit in there, okay? The Holy Spirit's in there, that's who you got to serve. No man can serve two masters, because either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. So where are we at in our life in Christ? Hey, he puts it pretty simple there. If you love the world and you're despising the things that the Holy Spirit's got in store for you in your life. So we gotta get that reversed. But sometimes, my mom and dad went to that church for 50 years, so I'm kind of obligated to get up and go. All right, so now we're doing it out of obligation, but we're not doing it out of obedience to God. I can tell you, going out of obligation and necessity is not going to give you any blessings, because that's why you're doing it, is out of obligation, and you're not doing it out of obedience to God. So that means many people out in the world we feel like we're trying to serve God, but we don't want to let go of the things that are holding us back. So therefore, oh Lord, I'm really trying. I'm struggling. Wonder what God thinks when you say, as a believer, when you say, oh Lord, I'm really struggling. And God's probably thinking, why are you struggling? I gave you every ability that you don't have to struggle. But oh Lord, I'm really struggling. It's because we're not obedient to God, because of the things in our life that we put before God. And we all do it. We all have things that we put ahead of God. So he says, you cannot serve God while you're serving your lustful desires in the world. It cannot happen. So in Romans, he tells you. Let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Here's what he says. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey? So it's what you're following after. It's all, this is what I got to do. This is my life and this is what I got to do. And I'll get to God when I can get to God. He tells you here, you yield yourselves to obey. His servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whether it is sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. So we're following one or the other. We're either following the things that God doesn't want us to do, and when he says sin unto death, he's talking about that sin that hinders our relationship with God. It's killing our relationship with God. He said you're either doing that, or you're going to be obedient to the righteousness of God, and then God's going to help you with everything else in your life. So we all have this free will to choose. That's why God created us. We're either going to accept, or we're going to reject. And to accept, accept means to be obedient. When you say, Lord, I accept you took on a responsibility that you were going to be obedient to the Word of God. Now, how are we getting around that? We just don't study the Word of God. But that doesn't get you around it. So, we've got to learn to be obedient to the Word of God. But we're either, most of the time, we're just unwilling to apply those instructions to our life so that we might live according to how God wants us to live in our life. So I'm going to give you two scriptures here this morning. I want you to write these down, because I want you to go back and study them later on. The first one's going to be in Isaiah, and then we're going to go jump over into Matthew, because Christ himself taught on this scripture over in the book of Matthew. But in Isaiah chapter 29. Here's what he said. And I can tell you, this hits our life, and it hits the church today to a T. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, here's what he said. And Isaiah told this to the children of Israel. Isaiah the prophet was, God instructed him. He said, because of the discipline that's going on within the body, the children of Israel, here's what I want you to tell them. He said, wherefore the Lord said, okay, God spoke to Isaiah, and here's what he said. For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips, they do honor me. Okay, you get that? Oh, they're coming together. They're talking a good game. I would have been to church if it hadn't been. I had to do this or I had to do. So we're talking a really good game. But here's what he said. They have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is being taught by the precept of men. Meaning they're not following me because they're following after man. Okay? He said they're doing this within the Israelite, the nation of God. This is what they're doing. Well, let's jump over into Matthew and let's see what he says the church is doing. Okay? Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. Here's what he says. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. Same thing. And honoreth me with their lips, but what? Their heart's not in it. So now we got the body of Christ today. That, oh yes, we got all these good Christians, good, and we're going to call them Christians. I'm not even going to call them believers. Within the body of Christ, because they say all this great stuff, but he said, their heart's not in it. He said, their relationship with me is so far, it's been hindered so much, it's not glorifying God at all. So can we agree, probably to disagree, that it's a contradiction to say that anyone can serve God? Now pay attention, because this is being taught in the church today. Anybody can serve God, but at the same time, you can still go ahead and live your life in the world the way you want to, and God will be okay with it. So that's what we're being taught today. No, we shouldn't be teaching that today. We had a person tell us that I go to this church because if I miss, nobody calls me and says, hey, why did you miss? Are you okay? Do we need prayer? Because I don't want that. If I don't want to go, I don't want to go, and I don't want anybody to call and ask me why I didn't go. So that's where we go wrong. So the people that aren't together with us, we should be reaching out to them. Hey, what do you need prayer? Do you need this? Do you need that? We need to encourage one another. So we'll be like Peter. We might say that we would never forsake God. Peter said that, didn't he? And within a short period of time, he done it not once, but three times. This is the church today. Because we're so persistent in following after our own worldly desires, so that means we repeatedly promise to serve God, and all the time the reality is we're rejecting Him because we're not being obedient to the Word of God. So in Ezekiel, here's what he says. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 31, and it says, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. They hear my words, but they won't do them. For with their mouth they show a lot of love, but with their heart they go after their own covetousness. The choices that we make. So the promises of our faithfulness to God, that means the promises that we make to God, we show by the works of our faith. And people can see that. We can't see it most of the time, but I can tell you others can see it, and it's not very encouraging to get them to come to see the obedience, what the obedience of the Word of God is all about. So we need to be operating under a living faith. That means we need to be, our faith needs to be by demonstration. You can only believe what? What's the saying? Dad's told you this so many times, you ought to know it. You can't believe nothing that you hear and only half what you see. And how true is that? Because we forget who is the pattern for our life. And please don't say me. If your pattern, your life after me, we're in trouble. You know that verse that says, one falls in the ditch and then they're both now in the ditch. We pattern our life after God, and He makes sure that we have the ability to do that because of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. So we can pattern our life after God. But in order to do that, we have to live and we have to work, and we have to do it all by the works of God. By His power, giving Him the glory, we must learn to fear the Lord, meaning reverence to the Lord. And we must serve Him, and it has to be a service that is of sincerity and one that is of truth. And then and only then will we find that ability to be able to... What was the questions that we asked from the beginning? Do you remember what those questions are when we talked about our choices? What is it in our life that brings us to the knowledge of choosing what is good or what is bad? What do we have? It's the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit to do that. So how do we determine that? How to believe what is right or wrong? Again, we have to follow after the promises and the commandments of the Word of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And finally, yes, we should know in our life when a circumstance is the right thing to do. You and I as believers know the right thing to do because the Holy Spirit is always telling us the right thing to do. Whether we make the choice to do it or not is up to us. But we know. So God wants us to understand this in our life. He wants us to know whether or not we are truly living our life in obedience to God, in obedience to His Word, or are we just coming together and talking about it and hoping everybody will think that I'm the best person there is in the world. I'm the best Christian that there is in the world. Because I can talk about it all day long. But God wants us to live according to His purpose and His plan that He has determined for us in our life. So that as believers, we'll live for Christ. We'll want to live for Christ. We'll have a willing desire to live for Christ. And if nobody else wants to do it, we'll still do it. Don't follow the crowd. We'll still do it because it's in Him. That's where our faith is. That's where we put it when we were saved. That's where we're to continue to put it now as we live our life for Him. And it's up to us to encourage others to do the same. What part of the verse did I tell you to get up and say every morning? There you go. As for me and my house, we'll what? We will serve the Lord, because I want to make sure that when we gather, when we're called and we're gathered together, that we're doing it to present ourselves unto God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this opportunity this morning that you've given unto us. We're thankful, Lord, that you allow us to look into the promises and the commandments of your word, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we know that even so, even though sometimes they're not pleasing to us in our life because of the way that we live our life, we pray that the Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, still shows us those things that are not pleasing unto thee, Lord, so that we might get rid of those things and better serve thee each and every day of our life. Help us, Lord, not to put the world ahead of you, but to put you ahead of the world, that we always might be found doing those things, Lord, that are pleasing unto thee. We just pray this day for the many that were not able to be with us, Heavenly Father, that you will touch their bodies, touch their hearts, Heavenly Father, that you would give us all a willing desire to serve you and to present ourselves wholly and completely unto thee. Forgive us, Lord, for we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give us praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, Saturday, I know for sure, from 4 to 5:30 is when the kids will be going around Kinchelo, and you're to set out at the end of your driveway and give out your candy. For those who don't want to set out at the end of our at the end of your driveway, you can set the end of ours if you want. We won't be there. That don't want to, we always have the church open, so many people come up and we'll have coffee and refreshments, and you can come and give your candy out from here if you want. Anybody is more than welcome. And like I said, we do have several people that do that. Big Isaac Church will do a trunk or treat, and hopefully we'll find out about when that is. If it doesn't conflict with ours, then we'll probably go over and do trunk or treat with them as well at their church. But trick or treat is coming up. We want to make sure that it's enjoyable for the young people. So let's do whatever we can to make it enjoyable for them. Jane Lou's is Friday evening.
Okay. Got a hayride yesterday. Well, a truck ride. Yesterday. Had a big trailer on the back. Looked like a bunch of kids. Oh. Stuff.
Remember, Bible study Thursday evening. We're probably going to finish up on our what we started talking about. When was our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And then you'll need to decide, do you want to go back and start with the churches again, or do you have something else you want to go to before we go back into Revelation? So we'll discuss that Thursday evening, but we'll finish up hopefully Thursday evening on when our name was written in the Book of Life. Next Sunday will be at Big Isaac Sunday School, preaching, and then breakfast to follow. So come hungry both for spiritual food and food.
that's where the choice comes in.
That's where you put them both in your same pocket.
Did I miss anything? Is there anything else this week? All right, let's stand. Praise the Lord three times.
Time change next week.
Oh yeah, time change Saturday night.
I'll post it.
So it'll be posted. Everybody ready? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.